We believe that all men are created equal.
The magnificent mosaic that is America. From Radio Beacon to Radio Beacon.
Change has come to America.
Believe it.
Help is on the way.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey! It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show.
Turn up your mind.
The family of former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright saying, "We are heartbroken to announce the 64th U.S. Secretary of State passed away. The cause was cancer." Madeleine Albright was the first woman to hold that position.
I, Madeleine Corbell Albright,
taking the oath of office in 1997, chosen by President Bill Clinton.
Her story is the best of America's story, told with courage, compassion, and conviction.
She was unanimously confirmed by the Senate.
Unanimous.
Albright, a native of Prague, came to America as a refugee. And on that day, she spoke of her parents and their early struggles overseas.
I stand here today in this office, which symbolizes the power and purpose of the United States. My mother and father taught me to love freedom. No barrier or ceiling should stop me from serving freedom in my own life.
Born in 1937, she and her family fled the Nazis and then Soviet-dominated Eastern Europe. Madeleine Albright meeting with so many of the leaders of her time, in all of those meetings, wearing her trademark pins, this one, the American flag. Once telling Barbara Walters what she most hoped to accomplish as Secretary of State.
Have the American people understand that foreign policy is domestic policy, that there is no line between foreign and domestic policy. We are part of a globe, and we have to adjust to it, and America is still the best place in the world to live.
It was just 1 month ago, in what might have been her final work as this country's former chief diplomat, she wrote in the New York Times, "Vladimir Putin is making a terrible mistake," saying Ukraine is entitled to its sovereignty no matter who its neighbors happen to be. If Mr. Putin feels backed into a corner, he has only himself to blame. Albright was the first senior U.S. official to meet Putin as acting president of Russia 22 years ago. Tonight, Madeleine Albright, in her own words, in her memoir on how she would like to be remembered.
I hope people will say that I did the best with what I was given. Tried to make my parents proud, served my country with all the energy I had, and took a strong stand on the side of freedom. Perhaps some will also say that I helped teach a generation of older women to stand tall and young women not to be afraid to interrupt.
Rest in peace, Madeleine Albright, first female Secretary of State of the United States of America, confirmed unanimously by the United States Senate pre-Ted Cruz, pre-Josh Hawley. Yeah. I don't think that you would even see her nominate. I don't know. I mean, it's just it's an amazing thing. So she hopes that we will say that she did the best with what she has. I will say she did the best with what she had. I will say she made her parents proud. The last piece of work that she wrote was just recently in the New York Times on February 23rd, 2022, just prior to her death. Now, they're saying that she died from cancer. And I, of course, feel like she died of a broken heart. Watching this invasion, watching this country of Ukraine, who did absolutely nothing but say, "We want to be with Europe. We want to be part of the West," be attacked and bombed to smithereens, to be reduced to ashes in many of their metropolitan areas. And they are metropolitan areas. Mariupol is like Pittsburgh. Mariupol, for those of you who don't know, you should know by now, is a steel town. That's what Mariupol is. It's a steel town. That's why it's on the Sea of Azov, is so that they could, you know, ship from the steel town to various places that needed steel. So anyway, I just think she might have died of a broken heart because she had written in the New York Times that when she met Putin, you know, 22 years ago, they didn't know much about him, but that she had recalled in her notes from 22 years ago that, quote, "Putin is small and pale, so cold as to be almost reptilian." He claimed to understand why the Berlin Wall had to fall, but had not expected the whole Soviet Union to collapse. Quote, Putin is embarrassed by what happened to his country and determined to restore its greatness. This is what she observed about him 22 years ago. And so our government understood this about him 22 years ago because of people like Madeleine Albright. And Bill Clinton gave a very brief interview last night, and he said the last conversation that he had had with her was all about Ukraine, that she couldn't talk about anything else. It was literally breaking her heart.
The idea that Putin was trying to sell the argument that a country with a Jewish president was actually a Nazi country was patently absurd, and she just wanted to support whatever we could do to back Ukraine, and that's all she wanted to talk about.
I get the feeling he's on the street somewhere, phoning it in, don't you?
I was just about to say, I'm glad there's nothing going on around him while he had that phone call.
I mean, it's very interesting, but that's what he said. The last phone call that he had with her recently was all about Ukraine. The last piece of work that she did was an op-ed, a long one, six-page op-ed. Op-eds are usually 3 to 4 pages. Hers was 6 pages about Putin and how he was going to. And this was before the invasion. This was the day before. She said that he is going to trigger massive sanctions with more to come if he launches a full-scale assault and attempts to seize the entire country, that it would devastate his country's economy, it would challenge his leadership, it would be bloody and catastrophic, it would drain Russian resources, it would cost Russian lives, and it would create an urgency in Europe to slash its reliance on Russian energy, that people in Europe, like the Germans, would cancel the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. They would realize it would be a wake-up call for the whole world to get, to make what Putin has worthless, which is what I've been saying since Iraq. By the way, for those of you who can't remember, she was totally against the Iraq invasion. She understood why, but she didn't understand, the when or the Bush lies about Iraq. She didn't think that Iraq needed to be invaded or should be invaded, and that the message that was being delivered to the Middle East was that Iran was going to be a superpower in the Middle East, which would be bad, and that if, and Wes will love this, okay? Because Wes, is it Wes or who, there's a Zeke. It's Zeke. Zeke in Oregon, who calls us up all the time and says nuclear blackmail, just yells that out. Madeleine Albright actually agreed that if you were a country that didn't have nuclear weapons and you crossed a line with an American president of the Republican persuasion, you would be invaded. And if you were a country that had nuclear weapons and you crossed a line with a Republican president, like North Korea and Donald Trump, they would fall in love, if you had nuclear weapons. This is literally what she said about it.
I am for promoting democracy. I really am. I frankly believe that we're all the same. And that if everybody had a choice, people would want to live under the governments that they choose and be able to get rid of them if they don't like them. So that is something that I think is a universal norm. But they're not, if President Bush thought that Iraq would be the poster boy for democracy, there are not a lot of people that can look at it and say, I want my country to look just like that. So that has not succeeded. I also think that the country at this stage that has gained the most out of the war in Iraq is Iran, that has regained a very large influential role in the region, and we're unclear what to do about it. I also think that what has happened is rather than showing America's might, it has shown the limit of what it is that we can do. The message that comes out of Iraq is the following to the axis of evil, is if you don't have nuclear weapons, you get invaded, and if you do have nuclear weapons, you don't get invaded. We had not invaded the Soviet Union or Russia. We haven't invaded China. So you now see what's happening both in Iran and in North Korea.
Yeah.
And finally, I think Iraq has damaged America's moral reputation in ways that will take a very long time to repair.
Still hasn't been repaired. Still hasn't. Whenever you argue about Ukraine being an innocent bystander and Vladimir Putin attacking them, you get feedback. Well, what about Iraq? What about Iraq? I mean, now you're lying about, Ukraine being so innocent. There's Nazis there. There's Nazis there, which is ridiculous. But we can't shed the shame of invading Iraq. under a Republican president. We can't. But anyway, rest in peace, Madeleine Albright, and thank you so much for your example.
Clear for takeoff.
The Randy Rhoads Air Force. Air Force. RandyRhoads.com.
So we all know democracy does not look the way it ought to look. And a lot of us know that the reason is because of money in politics. I want to show you a new podcast. It's called Democracy Decoded. It's a podcast by the Campaign Legal Center. And it looks at government and it discusses innovative ways that could lead to a stronger, more transparent, accountable, more inclusive democracy. The host is Simone Leeper, and she speaks with experts from across the political spectrum and takes a deep dive into the forces fueling our election. Not just in the nation's capital, but at all levels of government. Democracy Decoded will take you on a journey. It looks really into the nuts and bolts of the campaign finance system, and it looks at the effects of secret spending at both the federal and state level, explores where and how foreign governments are spending to attempt to influence American elections and our foreign policy. Listen, tune in, and learn more. Find it at democracydecoded.org or wherever you get your podcasts.